week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. I've been doing birthday salutes at the end of the past few shows. Well, let's flip it around on Friday and serve up a birthday salute to world number one tennis player Ash Barty of Australia. Ash is celebrating her 24th birthday on this Friday. At her Twitter page, Ash describes herself as an Aussie tennis player who also enjoys cricket, golf, dogs, and coffee. Well, on a personal note, let me say I share Ash's enjoyment of dogs and coffee. On the dog front, let me give a shout out for my beloved white she Sean Huxley, who will celebrate his fifth birthday next week. Huxley is a she Sean, and some of our VOA listeners might be wondering, Sonny, what is a she Sean? Well, a she Sean is a special breed of dog, half Shih Tzu and half Bichon. But let's get back to Ash Barty, the birthday girl. Ash began her professional tennis career at the tender age of 14. And over the past 10 years, she has won more than $17 million. And she's also risen to number one in women's tennis. Happy 24th birthday to world number one tennis player, Ash Barty.
Aussie greetings. This is Ezine Kalu, point guard for the Nigerian women national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
The Bundesliga in Germany could become the world's first major professional sports league to return to action amid the coronavirus pandemic. German Football League CEO Christian Seifert says the government will need to give final approval to return to play in May. Seifert says, and I quote, "What remains decisive for us is what the politicians decide. If it's May 9th, then we would be ready then. If it's later, we would be ready on that date." German Chancellor Angela Merkel is scheduled to meet with state prime ministers next Thursday, April 30th. And the approval for football leagues in Germany to resume could emerge from that conference. Germany's social distancing measures remain in place until May 3rd. What is the way forward for youth football in Nigeria during the COVID-19 pandemic? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the CEO of Mies Palace Football Academy, Emmanuel Adukwu.
The COVID-19 pandemic offers Nigeria, especially Nigerian youth, the opportunity to reset our football. In senior economies and senior clients, people are now in the planning stages. They are taking decisions as to how best to develop youth football. This opportunity would have been for us to first of all appoint the new coaches for the national under-12, under-15, under-17 sites. It would have afforded us the opportunity to sit down and look at a proper structure for youth development in Nigeria, a proper way to harness the talents and budding academies spread all over the country, and found a way to harmonize the database for every single young player coming through a Nigerian academy such that it would have been easy to find where these players are, what youth tournaments they had participated in, and keep a proper track as to their age and their development. However, this is Nigeria. These things are like rocket science.
What should be done to ensure safety of some youths who expose themselves to the virus by playing football?
We hope that the testing procedures in Nigeria would have developed enough for the children returning to be able to get tested. If that doesn't happen, then we have to ensure that as each child returns to every academy, there's running water and soap for them to wash their hands as they arrive at the academy. Ensure training protocols that keep some level of social distancing between the kids for the first 2 weeks. That way we can monitor and see if any of them shows any signs of this virus. However, our hope and prayer is that at the time the children return to football-related activities in academies across Nigeria, this whole pandemic would have blown over and we would have it exactly under control where we want it.
What should also be done to ensure synergy by football academies in the country?
To ensure synergies for academies spread across Nigeria is a very simple procedure. First of all, ensure that every single academy is registered with the state FA. Ensure that the state FA has a database of every single player who goes into every academy, categorized into the various age grades. It can start from the under 7s, 10s, proceed to the 12s, the 14s, the 15s, then the 17s ultimately. Once this is done, all the central FA has to do is to harmonize the database coming from every single state FA. It makes life so much easier, and that way we have a database of all young players. The second thing we can do is to ensure that every single youth category game in the state, to some level of extent, gets some form of publicity. We can get simple cameras, ensure that we document and record these games, and then ensure that we also have like a biometrics for every player as they join an academy. This way we not only will keep track of our players, we'll ensure that we know when they are in each age category.
What plans do you have for returning students of MEES Football Academy?
Coincidentally, when the coaches went around last week to check up on some of the players from the MEES Palace Academy, we found that some of them had put on a bit of weight to our amazement. But as they come back to the academy, we have a detailed plan now to ensure that in the first 2 weeks, we've shed off all of that extra weight. We ensure that we ramp up the training systems. What's even more worrisome to us is the fact that we're already 2 months behind the kickoff of the under-13 and the under-15 leagues. We have to hurry up and ensure that those leagues get finished. And then we continue with our preparations to see if we can get those children to the Toulon Festival and get them to the tournaments in South Africa that we had earlier planned for them. These are some of the plans that we have for them in the immediate, as soon as this COVID lockdown ends in Nigeria.
That's Emmanuel Adukwu, the CEO of MEES Palace Football Academy. And Emmanuel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Jos, Nigeria.
Hello, Africa. I'm Emmanuel Atuku from MEES Palace Academy, Jos. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Make a difference by honoring ordinary people doing extraordinary things to help one another. VOA encourages you to tell us about everyday people who have shown leadership in your communities during the coronavirus crisis. Submit your nominations to VOA Leaders at voanews.com. Send us your name, phone number, and email, and a VOA reporter will contact you. We're all in this together.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. And this Voice of America history note, Music Time in Africa is the VOA's longest-running English-language program. It was founded by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkisian in 1965. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out Jim Stevenson's Game Room via voanews.com. In Jim's latest Game Room, he included Olympic news.
also looking forward, everyone connected with the postponed Tokyo Olympics. Even though the Games are scheduled to be held exactly a year after originally planned, warnings are already beginning to be heard.
I don't think Olympic is likely to be held next year.
Kentaro Iwata, a professor of infectious diseases at Kobe University, sees a pair of events necessary for the Olympics to take place.
Holding Olympics needs two conditions. One, controlling a COVID-19 in Japan, and controlling the COVID-19 everywhere.
Iwata sees the second condition as the most difficult to overcome.
Unlike other sports events where 40, 50, 60 nations gather, Olympics games are from hundreds of nations, and you have to invite so many athletes from many, many places, which is not very compatible with these COVID-19 infections, which is causing a pandemic.
Toshiro Muto, the CEO of the Tokyo Organizing Committee, expressed his own reservations about 2 weeks ago. Iwata suggested one possible scenario to hold the Olympics despite the potential for persistent coronavirus problems.
In this regard, I'm very pessimistic about holding Olympic Games in next summer, unless you hold Olympic Games in a totally different structures, such as no audience or very limited participations or such and such.
Japan's organizing committee and the International Olympic Committee have said there is no plan B other than working for the Olympics to open on July 23rd, 2021. Virtual Formula One racing has drawn huge audiences, while the real races remain parked on the side of the track. F1 driver Charles Leclerc claimed a second Formula One eSports virtual Grand Prix, this time on the Shanghai virtual track. The Ferrari driver started on the pole position and never looked back. The drivers included many athletes from other sports, including English professional golfer Ian Poulter.
This is not easy at all. This is just so much fun, but more pressure than what I experience week in, week out. Well, it's just incredible. I mean, you know, these guys are, there's a reason why they're paid what they're paid.
Red Bull racing driver Alex Albon placed second and enjoys the virtual challenge.
I'd say racing is one of the only sports where you could really properly active in a pretty realistic way. So yeah, I do love it. I think it's obviously not the real thing, but to keep time ticking over, it's been really good. I've been really enjoying it.
Stock car racing is also roaring around virtual ovals. While crashes have no real-life consequences, what is said by drivers during the race does. Kyle Larson was fired on Tuesday by Chip Ganassi Racing a day after nearly every one of his sponsors dropped the star driver for using a racial slur during a live stream of a virtual race. Larson, in his seventh Cup season with Ganassi and considered the top free agent in NASCAR just weeks ago, is now stunningly out of a job in what could ultimately cost him millions of dollars and his racing career for a split-second utterance. Race car driving is not just for men.
Women's sport is kind of starting to get more and more in the forefront of people's sort of interests, but yeah, for women's motorsport to kind of get that sort of attention was amazing.
Jamie Chadwick was the 2019 W Series champion. While blazing a trail for women during the W Series inaugural season, Chadwick first has her eyes on the road.
My focus was purely, you know, on winning the championship and then, you know, going on to do whatever I needed to do.
She hopes her longer road trip will take her to Formula One racing with the men.
Motorsport, like maybe a few other sports, is one of the very, very few sports where men and women can compete on a level. Up until W Series, I had competed against men, and it hadn't really been, you know, something that was, you know, out of reach for me to see F1 as being the goal, and it still is.
Chadwick is happy with the competitiveness of W Series and hopes it will elevate women drivers in the sport.
I think making sure that, you know, we are represented properly, correctly at the top level, because really, like I said, it is a sport that is accessible for women.
W Series Season 2 was set to begin May 29th in St. Petersburg, Russia, but the season faces mass rescheduling because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Global Union for Soccer Players, FIFPro, has found its members have struggled with increased levels of anxiety and depression during the coronavirus pandemic. Vincent Gudibarge is the chief medical officer for FIFPro.
Social isolation, we know that social support is a huge protective factor for mental health symptoms. It's true for professional footballers, but it's also true for the general population. So when you are not engaged with your family, with your teammate, then you have, of course, a decrease of social support, and that is likely to lead to a higher rate of mental health symptoms.
Players have been away from their teams in most of the world for more than a month.
During the survey, we asked the player whether they were worried about their future in the football industry, and approximately 55-60% of the male and female players reported that they were worried about their future as a professional footballer.
FIFPro has urged clubs not to neglect providing mental health provisions as they focus on their players' fitness levels during national lockdowns. Gutabarge says fitness seems to be the least of the players' concerns.
From my understanding, I'm in contact with many players, they are training. It's not that the players are doing nothing, they are monitored to do so, but they are also motivated to keep physically active. So I don't believe that we need 6 weeks preparation before getting back to competition. That should be shorter.
He says the symptoms of anxiety and depression should be tempered with the hope that the health crisis will soon end.
We are, of course, evolving very fast. All situations are changing every day almost. We have new insights that makes the situation very dynamic and very complicated as well to have a proper position on that. But testing and vaccine will be, of course, key for the upcoming months, I believe.
Stand up!
Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the sunny side of sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the sunny side of sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Training every day is 27-year-old Cuban Leslie Amat, who is finding inventive ways at her home in Havana to maintain a demanding training schedule in hopes of qualifying for the women's triathlon at the Tokyo Olympic Games. She and her trainer, Diosilis Fernandez, converted a plastic children's pool into a lap pool. I'm doing this training to qualify for the Olympics. I can't give up, and I have to keep trying to the end. When the competition begins, I want to be on the starting line. Amat also rides a converted stationary bike and ties ropes to work her legs and body to emulate the three tiers of the triathlete competition. We invented this process so we could keep up the training and aspirations to qualify in the near future for the Olympic Games. Amat won a gold medal at the Pan American Games in Venezuela last year and also participated in the 2019 Lima Pan American Games and the 2010 Youth Olympics representing Cuba. If you live in Loreto, Italy, you may find your medicine coming to you on the bicycle of professional racer Davide Martinelli. The fewer people that go to the pharmacy, the better. This is our commitment, because if I go instead of three or four people, there is less risk of infection. Martinelli's pharmacy errands also help keep him in shape, although the reason to ride is more important. Given that I cycle and I have a bike and two well-trained legs, doing 10 kilometers a day is nothing special. But I wanted to help the people that always support me during the season. It was time to pay them back.
Thank you, Tana.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that game room package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In cycling, the coronavirus pandemic forced the cancellation of next month's Tour de Suisse race, but riders who were due to take part in the annual event are competing now in a virtual race to the finish. Joining us with more details is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. The Tour de Suisse is widely considered a proving ground for the Tour de France. But unlike the Tour de France that was recently postponed until August, organizers have canceled the Tour de Suisse without setting a new date for the 9-day event. Instead, they decided to go digital. And on Wednesday, 57 competitors from 19 teams traded their road bikes for stationary ones and took their marks on virtual cycling platforms in place of the open roads of Switzerland. One such competitor is Swiss cyclist Kilian Frankeny, who finished in 36th place on the first day. He says although the Tour de Suisse is considered a team event, the virtual ride is suffered alone.
It's completely different. You don't see the other riders, you don't see their faces, how they suffer. You suffer here alone. It's more a kind of a time trial effort, I think. You're really on your own and you see the others on the computer, and it's not like in a real race, but it's funny for one time, and I liked it. It was a good idea from Tour de Suisse to make a race of like this, and yeah, enjoyed it a little bit also.
Frankeny admitted the ride was pretty tough, a reaction echoed by the 13 cyclists who took part in the virtual Tour of Flanders event earlier this month. Winner Greg Van Avermaet said although the virtual course was shorter, it felt like a real race that got his heart pumping. The virtual Tour de Suisse also features a shortened course that's ridden over 5 days instead of 9, and cyclists are able to feel every bump and uphill climb. But Frankeny says the virtual tour does not compare to the real thing, and the hardest part of the race is finding the motivation to do it.
Sometimes it's for sure hard to find the motivation because you don't have a target where you can train for. So it's not always easy to go in the morning and sit on the bike and do your ride. But most of the time in good weather, on sunshine, and we are still lucky we can go and ride outside. It's not that hard to find the motivation, but it's hard because you don't know for what you train or which is your next race, which is your target, and when it will be.
For many professional cyclists, that next race could be the Tour de France on August 29th. But despite the rescheduled date, Frankeny says only time will tell if the race goes on as planned.
It's still not sure that the tour will happen. It's still a long time till then, and still a lot of things can happen. But it looks like the tour takes now a new place, a new date, and we will see what happens with the whole other races, which would be in that part of the season. And we cannot race three Grand Tours in 3 months with all the other classics and all the other planned races. So I'm looking forward to see what's going on with the UCI and the whole calendar.
But first, Frankeny must focus on completing the virtual Tour de Suisse. That competition is going on right now and will end on Sunday, April 26th. And that ends it for me for today and for the week. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. I received a nice Facebook message on this Friday from James Marte Antonio, who told me he tunes in the show on a regular basis in Accra, Ghana. James says he's sending his best regards and keep up with the spot on presentations. Thanks for writing, James. And that wraps up the April 24th edition of the show. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. And that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation of the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.